But as I prepared for this message this morning, I think of how creative God is. And I spoke with Brother Ricky just for the service. I was watching Pastor Rocky as he baptized his last week. Such a big man and such a little guy. I said, just a good contrast of that, you know. And I actually requested, there's a guy here as well who has actually run the Boston Marathon. And I thought about that. You know, God has given me a car. I think that's just wisdom. He didn't, I mean, God bless him for that. But I would have loved to held him under for another couple of seconds if I could have. And he knows that as well. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. You know, Ecclesiastes as many times as used, you know, as we go to the celebration of life. And God has created everything for a season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. And I thought about that. We don't know. I could imagine telling the disciples that one day there was going to be a spaceship that landed on the moon, or we were going to have internet or cell phones. I mean, that would have been just too much information at that time. I know that nothing is better for them. No, this is written by King Solomon, the guy who had it all. There's not been a wiser man or wealthier man in the history of the world than King Solomon. He said, "For I know nothing is better for them than to rejoice and do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. This is a gift of God." This is a gift of God. This morning, if I were to ask you, do you love to laugh, the answer, I'm sure every hand, well, I would hope every hand would be raised. And yet sometimes, I guess, in life, with circumstances, trials, and the difficulties we go through, sometimes laughing is hard to find. My early years in church, I can remember, and I'm grateful for my upbringing in church, but I can remember being 12 or 13 or 14 years old, and honestly, I don't remember a lot of joy coming in or out of the church. And for me at that time, of course, I'm listening to the secular music, so the organ music really didn't appeal to me. So I have to say it didn't really have a heavy influence on my life. And I like the here where we include the old with the new. We need to draw the young people. It may not be something necessarily that I would want to listen to, but it's important, you know, that we draw the young people into the fold of the ministry, and we have to adapt and change with them as well. And I thought about Jesus, the cast of characters that he had to deal with. I mean, I could imagine in some of his quiet time, man, he had to have just a little smile in his heart and saying, these guys, man, you know, they were created. I mean, you know, these guys, they need some work. But I wrote down some of the things, you know, and the Bible's filled with celebrations, feasts, weddings. I mean, the Bible is filled with these things. I mean, imagine that one day, just like we get to share communion, which, you know, sin is serious and it has consequences, but we all get to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. But I think about Jesus as he was walking the earth. I just wrote down some things that, you know, think about it. The Bible says he was just an average-looking guy. But can you imagine a guy who could speak to one person, a lady at the well, or he could attract thousands of people? And I thought about when he was feeding the people, the 5,000-plus. Think about this. How could a man, his personality could have such a draw. Now, you know he wasn't negative or smarter. I mean, he had the draw that 5,000 plus people would forget everything, even to bring food. They would even forget about food itself. They were so mesmerized. So Jesus had to have a certain amount of, his countenance. Can you imagine his countenance? The Bible says that God smiles down on us. But I wrote down he's compassionate. I mean, man, he was, man, good and caring, honest and truthful, patient and understanding, merciful. Man, I mean, every day we get up, and man, we can breathe and we can walk and talk and go to work and make fun of other people. That's a good day. And so he loved people, yet he hated sin. But Scripture shows us that Jesus was, God created laughter, and he created joy, and he created laughter. And even in the midst of sorrows, I mean, as a brother passed away here, and we had another brother who passed away who owned a shop in the city for years. And even in those sorrows, I've heard those people, Martha as well, just so seeds of I wouldn't say joy, but seeds that will help down the road other people. Even in their sorrow, they're sowing seeds. And that's so important in the midst of those trials. Yes, it is. So the name of the message today, very simple. Take time to laugh. Take time to laugh. My brother was the inspiration for the message today. And I'm not going to get emotional here, so okay. But about 3 months ago, he got put in the hospital, and about a week later, he had a massive heart attack. So he's basically been fighting for his life for 3 months. So over the course of this time, he's from the neck down, nothing works. So it's been about 3 weeks ago when Rocky asked if maybe I would do the message today. As usual, I'd leave my job, and then I go visit him, and you know, I pray with him and talk to him just like normal. Talk about the weather, you know, his old sorry team, the Redskins. Talk about those things. This particular day, when I got out of my car and I'm walking towards the hospital, God said, "You need to go in there with a cheerful heart." Proverbs 17:22: "A merry or cheerful heart does good like a medicine." A cheerful heart. That doesn't mean things are good on the outside. But I had a clear what I needed to do, man. It was just, but a broken spirit dries the bone. My brother had been expressionless for me for at least 6 weeks till this day. And as I went in there, I said, "You know what, Lord?" I said, "You need to guide me here." But I said, now he's my brother and everybody's personality is different. I said, "I got to do some trash talking." So he's been on a feeding tour, and I'm not making light of him, what's taking place. But I wanted him to know, this is our personalities and our fellowship together when we would talk to each other. So I went in there, and of course, I just asked him how he's doing, and he'll look at you, just no acknowledgement. And I talked for a couple minutes, and you know, I always bring up the Lord, and I said, "You know, Dana," I said, "you know how to pray in your spirit. I mean, you can tell him to look out the window, and he would turn his head. He knows what's going on. Now, what he actually comprehends totally, I don't know." So anyway, I said, his name is Dana, and I said, "Man, Dana," I said, "how long do you want to live off that feeding tube, bro?" I said, "wouldn't you like to have a piece of fried chicken?" I said, "Man," I said, "this is ridiculous." I said, "my brother was second team all-state wrestler in high school. He was a phenomenal athlete, lost a kidney in the 10th grade playing football." And so I said, "looking at your arms and the size of your legs," I said, "little brother," I said, "little brother's got something for you right now." And I'm telling you, man, he lit up. Man, God, I mean, he just, the breakthrough for me right there. I needed that. You know, it's a dark moment in the situation he's in, and God knew. No, Sean, I don't need that. But God knew this was going to take place. And I just praised God for that day. And now when I go in, as I went in on Friday, you know, he kind of screams. He can't audibly talk. He just makes a noise. But I can tell you he knows pain, because I had to clean his wounds on Friday, and that's not pleasant to hear. And but God has spared his life. After what he's been through for 3 months, he's still breathing. There's still hope. And, you know, every day I leave there, I pray with him, and I tell him. We got a little statue of Jesus on the cross there. My brother knows the Lord. He's never served the Lord. He probably knows Scripture, more Scripture than I do, honestly, and that's the truth. But he never put it into his life. So my brother, he certainly would welcome your prayer. You know, we want to see him. The nurse told me we've seen people, because when he had his heart attack, I should have told you, he was dead for 19 minutes. So the lack of oxygen to the brain. But we have seen progress. And, you know, the nurse told us we've seen people get up and walk out the door instantly. So that's what we're believing. You know, whether God, you know, God has a purpose in it. You know, and I'm sure you know, I don't like it, but I know God's using it. And I'm praying God will have mercy upon him. So Charles Spurgeon, as many of y'all may be familiar with him, I have a night and day devotional from him. He's one of my favorite writers. A man, one of the greatest teachers in the 1800s there's ever been in the church. I would encourage you to get his night and day devotional. Suffered from great depression, yet was full of joy. He was being visited by a pastor in the States. His name was Thomas Cooler, I believe. And they went and they decided they were going to take a long walk and talking about the amazing stories that had happened in the ministry. Now, you know, as long as Brother Rocky's been in the ministry, if he got together with all the pastors and they talked about some of the funny things that they had seen, it would be a pretty good story. So Charles Spurgeon said at the very end of this, both of these pastors, after hours of laughing hilariously about their ministries and what's taking place, they were so exhausted that they were ready to go back. And Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, it's time for us to get on our knees and thank God for the gift of laughter. So that's the name of the message today. Thank God for the gift of laughter. Thank God for the gift of laughter. I was reading about a businessman who was traveling. He was a Christian man. He was traveling. He arrived on a Saturday. And he said, Sunday morning, he said, I'm going to go up. And he said, I'm going to find me a police officer. He said, I'm going to ask that police officer, what church did I need to attend? So the police officer said, well, he found a police officer. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you how to get there. He says, okay. And he says, now, why are you sending me to this church? He said, well, I'm not a church man. He said, but I'll tell you this. He said, those people that come out of that church, he said, they're full of joy, and they got a smile on their face. And I've been with Pastor Rocky for some years now, and I can honestly say when I come in and I'm sitting in the pew, a lot of times if I don't speak, once I get focused, because it's always a convicting word for me, but I can tell you this. When I leave out the door, I thank God that I'm saved. I thank God that my home, I'm headed to heaven. And I don't think I should have to tell anybody here, if you're saved this morning, heaven is the happiest place in this world. So I thank God for that. And I have something to share. And I think, you know, our humans, I would say the natural bent is to be a little negative. So we can choose to be positive. We can choose to put a smile on our face. It doesn't mean that it's fake. But when somebody sees us, regardless of what we're going through, whether we're at a restaurant, man, that may be the only smile they get that day. And it doesn't mean our circumstances are any better. But what it does speak is that we have somebody that can handle all of our circumstances. We have somebody that has, his power is no match for what we have going on in our lives. Praise, joy, and laughter are a big part of our witness to the Lord. As Pastor Rocky's ministering back there with the young kids, you know, being in Vacation Bible School and just around my grandkids, children, man, the Bible says we need to humble ourselves like little children to enter the kingdom. And that doesn't mean maturity. And I'm sure probably some of the people work with probably think I'm the most immature person in the world, and that's okay. But children, man, they're humble. I mean, kids get in fight 1 second, then they're sharing candy the next. I mean, they're lighthearted. They're not weighed down with the cares of the world. And I really just come to my mind, when is the last time, and I hopefully, if it hasn't been lately, when is the last time you laughed like a kid? Man, kids are full of laughter, and it doesn't mean they're not sin-free, no one is, but they have the ability to trust wholeheartedly on their father, exactly what we should do. And of course, I should say mothers as well, but they're totally dependent on adults, and that's how we should be on our Heavenly Father. I'm reading through the book of the Bible. For me, this year has been really, Darlene and I both are going through the whole Bible. And it's funny because I've read it before several times. But man, God is powerful, man. And when you read the stories about some of what goes on in the Old Testament, I mean, he doesn't hesitate to take somebody out that's bad. I mean, by God's grace, being a young teenager doing stupid things as I'm still here, you know, on this platform this morning. But I thought about some of the characters, you know, some of the stories that I've read. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is it's John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Now, think about this. You know, we're going to get a chance to share communion, and that was a serious moment. And they're still around the table. And I'm sure, even in that setting, as hard as things were, you know, Jesus made them feel at home. And, you know, he took all the cares of this world for us. And it's our part, regardless of what, just like with my brother, regardless of what I see, I call him healed. You know, that's just how it is. That's what God's word says. You know, I don't waver from the Bible. And certainly I have days that, as Brother Mark says, are not on top of the hill, so to speak. But this story here, if you're a Christian, for me, just speaks volumes. John chapter 18, starting in verse 4. Now, they're coming to arrest Jesus. Imagine this, okay? The most powerful person in the universe, they're coming to arrest him. They've heard of the Roman soldiers, surely, they know about Jesus. They know the miracles. They know everything that's taking place. It said, I'll start in John chapter 18, verse 3. It said, then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, it's estimated between 300 and 600 soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and officers and the chief priests and Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Can you imagine a weapon against Jesus? Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that were going to come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Now, if I'm on Jesus' team right here, I got to have, they know who Jesus is. So Jesus, in my opinion, I'm just, like I said, I'm reading from a perspective of my own self of just things that would make me laugh in the Bible. So they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Jesus, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So when Jesus spoke, they stumbled back and they hit the ground. Now, I don't know about you, if I'm on Jesus' team, I'm laughing. And I'm going to be, as serious as that was. Can you imagine that taking place and those guys are going to get up and come arrest him? Now, I know Jesus was using that not only to show his power, but he also was trying to draw them to himself. It just wasn't to show his power, because he freely laid that down to be arrested. But when you, God's word is so good, man. This instantly come to my heart. Moses, when Jesus went before him, he says, I am. It's the same word that he uses here. And if I don't say anything else today that you get out of this, God impressed this on my heart. You know one thing? Think about this. Those that followed Jesus, just like the disciples were right here, and just like Moses, none of them hit the ground. Only those that don't know Jesus on Lord and Savior. Now, we're going to have our failures and trials and all them things. That's just life. But not one of them hit the ground. We stand with Jesus. And no one can snatch us out of his hands. And that's so important to remember. Brother Schmidt is going to get a chance to share communion. This morning, Jesus' power is unmatched. Finances, healing, whatever it is. I mean, God is able to do it. And man, I tell you, God impresses. I do have all my weaknesses and failures and hang-ups. And Darlene's got plenty she could tell you. I believe what God says, man. God can instantly turn something around. I can't say that here and then walk out and say, man, you know what? Man, my back is just never going to stop. That doesn't work. By his stripes, Brother Smith, we're healed. We don't take settling down. My family will be delivered. That person in your family that's rebellious or not living for the Father, we stand on what God's. I mean, it's amazing when the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Man, the authority and the power that we have as Christians. I think this is so funny for me. This is personal for me as far as that's one of my favorite stories. I mean, the power right there, and yet they got right back up and go to arrest him. Man, like I said, if I'm on his team, I don't know. Pastor D.L. Moody said, if Christians are gloomy and downcast and not full of praise, the world will reject their gospel. Man, we have good news to share. And it's not about our circumstances, it's about him. Studies, I was looking up at the different studies about laughter. It said that kids laugh several hundreds to 1,000 times a day. Imagine that. Now, go back to that room. Now, Rocky will have them serious, but there's going to be laughter in that room. Adults barely make double digits. We're saying an adult will barely get 10 laughs a day. I mean, we got to make sure that we're getting laughs. I think the best thing is just laughing at yourself. I can tell you that right now. Darlene and I, it's funny because it's been years ago, we had we still laugh about it to this day. It wasn't funny at the moment, but we had a newlywed game back there, and Darlene and I have probably been married 15, 18 years. Man, we walked out of that room and we didn't get one right. We're still learning. We may not get but one out of the 10 right now. But man, that was terrible. But we can laugh about that. It was, and it's funny because the one thing I've always encouraged her to carry is at least carry a couple of dollars on it. And I think that was the last question. Tell me something that your wife, one thing that she never has on her. And man, I said, I got this one, cash. I don't know what she said, but it wasn't cash. So at that point, I just give up again. God loves a cheerful giver. And for me personally, this is important. And I'm using this, God's word is serious when he talks about giving. I shared this with a brother this past week. I think about God. So he says, Brother Gary, he said, I'm going to give you this $100 right here. Matter of fact, I'm giving you the ability to earn this $100. He said, so all I want you to do is I want you to give me 10 back. Now, it all belongs to him. And when we leave here, we're not leaving nothing behind. And I could say, oh, Lord, man, the $10, you know, that's a good couple coffees a week, I guess you could say. But think about what God says here. He says, if you're willing to do that, man, this is so powerful. And I know sometimes, you know, Satan is a liar and he wants us in debt and bondage and being way dead over our head. He says, I tell you what, Gary, if you're willing to give me $10 out of that $100, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure your storehouses are full. And you know what? Not only that, I'm going to take care of your back, but I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you. You know, it's about me, not the devil. I'm going to take care of you if you give to my house. So it's important to remember when we give to God, you know, I see here, I know we probably support 10 full-time missionaries and every dollar that comes in. And I always tell people, because I've been a part of the financial team for years here, I've seen what God has done. And, you know, it's in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, and all the young people that I work with, I would tell them this. And God, there's no coincidence with God. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. The very next verse, it tells you, don't bury yourself with debt. God is so wise because God wants us freely to give. He said he'll freely give us all things. That doesn't mean he's going to give us our greeds, but he's going to meet every one of our needs. And he's going to do it in a way, whether it's friendships or health, lost loved ones, God is going to bless us because that's who he is. He's good. I mean, it's only his love. I think, man, if you'd have told me when I'm 18 or 19 years old, I mean, you know, only God knows if he would have taken me out. See, now I can laugh at Satan because now I'll get to laugh. I mean, could you imagine even as Satan, we sing that song, Gleam with Pleasure, as he goes to the cross. Little did he know when he died, he went and destroyed the devil's kingdom and death, hell, and the grave were destroyed. Who got the last laugh on that one? And it's not a laugh of, you know, I want. No, it's a laugh of, no, I reign. So, I mean, we have something to you know, God's word, man. But tithing is so important for me. And I just think about, you know, what really, and I've shared this before, just years ago, I can remember Rocky took me to California and just seeing Pastor Robert Morris there and how he started his ministry. And man, and I come back, and I wasn't tithing at that time. You know, I had taken a little bit. I refinanced my house for 10 years. You know, I had kids, and I had Darlene. you do. You put yourself in a situation, and God knew my heart. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I can't tell you except God. God turned it all around, and he has blessed me beyond measure. And I'll just say this. You can't outgive God. And we do it because we love him, and we use discernment when we give. But God does love a cheerful giver, whether it's just not monetarily. He loves when we serve here, and he loves when we help in kids' church, and if you're a door greeter, when you pray. I mean, and I've had many people ask me, man, I'm so far in debt, what do I do? Well, bring yourself, like Rocky says, to the altar first and start with a dollar. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God's word will never return. When we have a true and sincere heart, God will never let us down. Clarence, Psalm 37, 12, and 13. There is a laughter that we want no part of when it comes to God. Because evil, you know, it's not a laugh. God would never laugh at destruction or hurt or pain. 37, verse 11 and 12. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him and with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Their day is coming. And we don't want that, and that's not God's heart. But that right here shows you that God has a laugh that's, I think about Sarah in the Bible, and which, you know, when she's 89 or 90 at that time, and the Lord says, you're going to have a kid. No, I mean, honestly, I'll be 60 this year. I'd laugh at that too. And certainly she had seen God move in Abraham's life. And that laugh, it was a laugh of unbelief. And I'm sure there was more to that laugh than just unbelief. I mean, I could imagine when somebody, if the Lord sees me to that age, telling me I'm going to have a child at 90 years old, you know, I mean, so you not only have, you know, you got to have the physical side of that as well at that age. So, I mean, it's, you know, you think about that, it's, you know, it's an amazing thing. But one thing about that verse that speaks out to me about Sarah and the smile there is we never should laugh at any of God's promises because they're all true. And that's what we stand on as Christians. And we stand on every word that comes out of this book. And we believe that. Laughter is medicine. Laughter is medicine. I was looking at the different scientific evidence about laughter. And whether it's a secular or whether it's Christian, there's several doctors that I've read that says the effects of laughing and smiling are so innumerable in the human body, it can't even be measured. See, God's word's true, man. When we love God's word, it feeds us, it nourishes, it provides everything we need. And we do have a physical body. But listen to some of the things. Man, the list is so overwhelming, it's kind of hard to even write down, but I just picked out a few. It says, stimulates our organs and enhances our oxygen intake, improves your mood, which is reduces stress, oxygen, and depression, improves your focus, better sleep, improves patience and self-control, helps blood pressure, smiling during times of grief, releases neurons to help us overcome sadness. Man, and I've seen people leave loved ones in this church and still, because they know the love of God. And it may be a hard manufactured smile, but it's a smile of joy knowing they're going to see their loved one again. And we can have that. Laughing is certainly no joke. Can you imagine in Matthew 3:17, Jesus is just getting baptized by John the Baptist. And can you imagine when God speaks, you know, of course, John the Baptist at first says, man, oh, I don't want to baptize you. And Jesus said, yes, it's got to be done. And when after he comes up, God says he looks down on him. And can you imagine that? God is well pleased. It says, this is my beloved son and who I am well pleased. Can you say that and say you don't have a smile on your face? When we talk about our children or a loved one or a friend, and we're talking something positive, encouraging, you can't tell me that there's not some type of smile on your face. We're not frowning when we do it. Certainly, I wrote this down. How do you feel when somebody says, I love you, or I forgive you, I'm proud of you? A simple thank you. It's not hard to smile when we have a heart of gratitude. When we know what's been done for us, I would always want it to be said for me. We have jobs and all this, you know. For me personally, as a flawed human being, and one day I've got to stand before the Lord just like we all do. But I'm grateful, man, that where I got it wrong has been washed away. Man, we got communion today. Man, what a special moment. It's not about what he did yesterday and today, but it's going to what he's going to do for me tomorrow. I'm completely freed. I love the picture of the baptism, man, because when we come up out of the water, I mean, it's gone. It's put in the seer for this never to be brought up again. And, you know, of course, the devil wants to convict us. He doesn't want us to laugh. He doesn't want us to have joy. I mean, you know, it's always, and I've said it numerous times, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So why is he after your joy? Why is he after your marriage? Why is he after your finances? He has no power other than what we give him. And I've, you know, thankfully, as I've gotten older and have grown in the Word of God, certainly I understand that, you know, the people that I'm surrounded by is who I have the biggest impact with. So I honestly, when I go to work every day or get up, and of course, and sometimes even in marriage, sometimes we can get away. The thing that will draw us to somebody sometimes is the laughter and the playfulness. And as we can, you know, let years and seasons and times go by, we forget those things. Man, we should wake up every day on the top and just say, thank you, Lord. Man, I mean, we got hands and feet. We can talk. You know, we got a family. We got food on the table. There's so many around the world. As I've been with Kim and Rocky and Brother Mark to Nicaragua, where there's rice and beans for three times a day, man, we are blessed in this nation. I mean, we're, God is, man, there's no words to describe when you get over there how blessed we are right here. Psalm 126, Schmitty, if you want to prepare for communion. Laughter is medicine. Every Sunday, as I've said, when I walk out the door here, I'm always extremely, man, just set free. That's what the gospel is about. I'm just so excited knowing what God has done for me. And I leave it here at the altar. Whether I walk the altar or not, I do thank God for his grace and mercy. Thank him for drawing me and saving me when he, you know, you've seen some of the tragic stuff that takes place in the news and around the world. And it's sad. But, you know, where God is and the church comes together, the power of unity, none of us, when we stand together, can we ever be defeated. It's when we sow, the discord is what separates people and draws division. But as a church, when we stand on God as the author and the finisher of our faith, and he's the only way to heaven, you know, whether you get submerged like they did last week, which I believe is biblical, or you want to sprinkle a little, I'm not going to argue that point. Our light needs to shine sharing the gospel with people. And, you know, very few people when you go to a restaurant or where you go are not receptive when you ask, when you want to pray for them. And I'm even, you know, I'm sure many of you have been places where the waiter is much, you know, a lot of people waiting in these places, they're not doing it because they want to. They need money. And they need to know the Lord and, you know, seek God first, and maybe he does want them there. But if they don't know the Lord, it's an opportunity for us to share who the Lord is. And our job is just to plant a seed. God will give that increase. Psalm 126. It's funny, Darlene and I were, we went to, you know, when you're younger, and how many of y'all have argued over what you're going to eat for dinner? So don't raise your hand. But we went to Charlottesville. This been about, 3 weeks ago, I guess. And we like to eat at different places that are not, that are unique to that area. So we found this place, and, I'm a fish guy. So we're in agreement. So we go, and we show up, and we're up in the Charlottesville area. And so we show up, and, man, that place is not where it is. Darlene's saying the GPS says it's right here. So I go around the block again. It's not there again. No. So the third time, we pull over in a parking lot. And, you know, maybe when we were younger, didn't know each other, we could have got a little touchy right there in that situation. But, you know, we didn't. And I don't know if it was her or me. And I said, Darlene, I said, why don't we just go to Bonefish? I said, we know they'll have something there that we'll like. So anyway, I said, but I'll swing around one more time. I mean, God has a sense of humor. So anyway, we see this little sign right there, and there's like a cut through the alley. Well, that's where originally, apparently, this restaurant was. And thank God, the food must have been terrible because it was closed down. So we go into Bonefish. And like I said, you know, they could, who knows, 25 years ago, I said, I mean, we're just going to Taco Bell. I don't know. It probably wouldn't have been any good. We'd have argued and probably not even ate. Who knows? But so anyway, we get to Bonefish, and it's not crowded. And she has to run to the restaurant. And see, God's into small things. So she goes to the restaurant, and the waitress comes over, and she brings the main menu. And here she comes with the list of the items that was, which would have probably been my food of choice that night if it had been on the menu. And said fresh halibut, black and fresh halibut. Man, I just started laughing. I said, thank you, Lord. But so anyway, Darlene comes back to the table and she sees that, and we both just start laughing. I mean, you know, God knew my heart, and not that he was going to make that mad, but You know, if we would have sowed discord and been in disagreement, you know, there wouldn't have been halibut for dinner, and there wouldn't have been dessert either. So it wouldn't have been a good ending to the thing. Psalm 126. You know, it's amazing how funny, how serious sin is. And we can let it rob us of a lot of good friendships, a lot of good things in this life. But man, when we do laugh, like I say, for me, the Word of God has always been convicting when I've been, no matter, I mean, darling, I'll tell you, you wouldn't even want to see the floor of the pages to make a simple message. But man, I read every day, but I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done for me. And it's personal, and it means something to me. And as it should us all. Psalm 126, Clarence, I'm just going to read this out of the New King James. You're going to have it up here. And Brother Smitty, if you can get ready to prepare for communion. I wanted to close with this because there's numerous times in the Bible that laughter is mentioned. This one here kind of just, I think, is the all word God is amazing, but this is just amazing. It said, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, the Israel people had been delivered. We were like in a dream. Has something ever good happened to you? Maybe you found out you couldn't have a baby, then you got pregnant. Something happened so good to you that it seemed like a dream. Something changed in the direction. God turned something around. He saved you. I mean, he turned it around, and it was like a dream. It said, then our mouth was filled with laughter. And that's what I said about the baptism, man. Man, we just laughing at that. The enemy's such a liar and a deceiver. And I don't take light in saying I laugh at him, but I can tell you what, I thank God I'm saved. And I thank God for what he's done for me. And you know what? I can laugh in a sigh of relief. You know, I ain't got to tell you there's a million different types of laughter. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. They're laughing and they're singing. Then they sit among the nations. Then they sit amongst our friends. Then they sit amongst our co-workers. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, for me, and I am glad. We are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, and the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. We do suffer loss. And just like with my brother, we don't make light of it. But he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed, we continue to do the work of God. That is so important. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Though we walk through many trials, honestly, when I put my head down on the pillow at night, I laugh in relief as far as God has. I repent of my sin and my spirit, put my hand on my pillow, anything that I did wrong for that day. But man, I rejoice. I'm happy. If you're a Christian this morning, there's something that no amount of money, no relationship, nothing can take from us. And you know what? People will, when we fail, people do like to talk about us. That's okay. Because if God is with me, I don't have that to worry about. You know, I'll let God deal with them. I've not arrived. And I certainly know that, I'm sure my brothers and sisters here would say the same thing. But we don't laugh at the calamity of others either. Brother Smith, if you want to come forward here. As I close this morning, I just want to thank God for the gift of laughter. It's a blessing that we can take time to laugh together as a church family. We can share, you know, you think about all the weddings, feasts, and everything that's taking place in the Bible. We're blessed. We have something to shout about this morning. We have something to be happy about this morning. And though we're going to fall and though bad things are going to happen, you know, we stand on what he says here. He will deliver us. He can heal us. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. There's nothing that God does not want to do this morning. Whether you're watching by social media this morning, whether restoring a marriage, restoring your finances, you know, and I've shared one thing I've shared before in finances. I like to say it because I like the devil to hear it. Every alcoholic drink, every shot that I ever bought for anybody, any stupid thing that I was tricked, because the devil uses people. I mean, we have a lust of the flesh here, and I bought things. I have claimed every penny back that the devil has stolen from me. And I'm going to tell you this. I won't get into my personal finances, but I can tell you this. God has done that. It didn't happen overnight. But I can tell you something. When you give to God and you have a sincere heart, we have a right to tear the devil kingdom down and take back what rightly belongs to us. Amen, Brother Smitty. All right.